If you have your Bibles this morning, and I certainly hope you do, turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. I've been impressed by what we've learned through our study in James chapter 1. And when we get done with James chapter 1, or with the entire book of James, I'll guarantee you we'll understand a whole lot more about life. And so far what we've learned about our life is that sometimes we have troubles and trials, amen? And James says for us to hang in there, and God will give us the strength to get through those trials. And I've personally learned a whole lot in the study and in the series. I hope you have. I hope you've been strengthened, and I hope that the Holy Spirit has taught you something. But today, I'm going to take a little reprieve, a little respite, if you will, from our study verses and turn to Daniel and look for chapter 3 in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to put a big exclamation point by what we've learned about these troubles and trials and things we call tests. And I was a little bit hesitant as to whether I was even going to preach this part of the second or the third sermon that we had last week, but I feel led this morning to go ahead with this, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you today. I pray that He will enlighten us all, and may He have power and glory, and may we live to the glory of His praise and glory today. Amen. It's all about Jesus. There's really nothing else. Jesus is the reason for everything. That's in the Old Testament and in the New. You know, I was asking myself this week, I started to say I was thinking, but I don't want to scare you too much, but I was thinking this week, and I asked myself some straight and diverse questions about the way I preach. And I said, Tom, why do you preach the way that you preach? Why do you think you have to dissect everything, to pick everything apart? Why do you think that we have to take a verse at a time and preach verse at a time and explain what each verse means? Why do you do that kind of preaching? And the thought came back to me that, my friends, we need to know what's in the book. Amen. We need to know what is in here. Unless God gets our attention and causes people to open the book, we won't know what is in the book. Amen. We'll never know unless we get in there and we dissect it and take it apart and rightly divide it and ask God to reveal things to us. We'll never understand what it says. So what I have come to the conclusion that when people come here to church, here at Hillview Baptist Church, I want you to learn something. Amen? I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon the preaching. I want the power of the Holy Ghost to be on the service. I want the power of the Holy Ghost to open the Word of God to our hearts and to our minds so that we will not be ignorant of the Word. Amen? And there are a lot of people that are ignorant of the Word in the day in which we live. And listen to this. If people are ignorant about what's in the Word of God, they're going to fall for anything. They're going to fall for anything the world has to say about what we should be, how we should live in this age in which we live. But I don't want you to fall for just anything. What I want you to fall for is every word from Genesis to Revelation in this book. That's what I want you to fall for. And I want you to hold it near and dear to your heart. Now, in the third chapter of Daniel, we find that old Nebuchadnezzar was up to no good. We find that Nebuchadnezzar had built an image that was in the likeness of himself. It looked like him. And he made this decree to the people in Babylon. He said, when you hear all this music go off from all kinds of different musical instruments at any time of the day, any given time of the day when these instruments start playing the music, here's what you're going to do. You're going to bow down and worship this image that I've made of myself. That was the decree. But there were three boys, well, actually four if you include Daniel, but three in the text that we're going to read today named, tell me what the name of the guys were. Thank you very much. I told you I was running on fumes. And these three boys were in the kingdom of Babylon because Nebuchadnezzar had brought Israel over there. And here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they butt heads with Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to fall in here at verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, after he'd found out that the three Hebrew children hadn't bowed down to the image, he was in rage and fury, and he commanded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image which I've made, that's all well and good. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" 16 says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not," verse 18, "be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to speak to us this morning through your holy word, and may your name and your name alone be praised forevermore in Jesus. Amen. So if we're ignorant of God's word, we're going to fall for anything. And the reason for that is the same reason that it has always been. And the Psalms, in particular 14 and verse 2, say this. It says that the Lord looks down from heaven upon humanity, upon the children of man. That's everybody, human beings, all over the creation that he made. He looks down from heaven upon humanity to see if there are any who understand. Literally what that means, to see if there are any, if there is anyone who is wise enough to follow his precepts, to understand that he is God. He looks down to see if anyone understands, if anyone is wise, if anyone seeks after God. Friends, we are living in the most ungodly period of time on this planet since the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I can almost hear God shouting, "Are there any Shadrachs? Are there any Meshachs? Are there any Abednegos down there that still fully trust in me? Are there any Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego on planet Earth that trust me to get them through the fire? Does anybody trust me anymore? Like those three Hebrew children, you know, those three boys that got thrown into a fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. And that furnace that was heated 10 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. I'm talking about, are there anybody left down on planet Earth that trust me to get them through the fire? There's never been a more ungodly period of time, friends, since Sodom and Gomorrah in the day in which we live. And do you know what Jesus said about that? He said, as it were, in the days of Lot. Remember, Lot was a resident of Sodom. And he said, in the same way, in those days that were like Lot, in the day that is coming, that is like Sodom and Gomorrah, that'll be the day when I will come again. And I believe God is making a big old shout out right now, wondering if there are any of these kind of people left on the earth, like these three Hebrew children trusted God, knew the Word of God. And by the way, I know He knows if there are any left. I know He knows everything. This is my dramatic effort this morning. It's not His drama. God has no drama, amen? All God has is truth. But sadly, verse 3 of Psalm 14 says this. God says this after finding no one left. He says, they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. I hope He's not talking about us, but He could be, probably is, because He's talking about all of us. Friends, three Hebrew children were told to bow down to this image that King Nebuchadnezzar had fashioned of himself in solid gold. He wanted to usurp God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be the God of the people, of his country, of the captivity of the Hebrew people, the children of Israel. He wanted to be their God. He wanted to become the God and the gods of the world that he had conquered. That world was none other than the great Babylonian Empire that soon became the Persian Empire and so on and so forth. And he wanted these Hebrew children to bow down to him. And if they didn't, it was a death sentence. If they didn't, he was going to wipe them right out. And you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't do it. Hallelujah. They wouldn't bow down to old Nebuchadnezzar, to his image. And in our age, we are being told right now by the world and the world system. We are being told in our age by the spirit of Antichrist to bow down to ungodly things that are going on in the world. We are being pushed into a world system. We are being pushed to follow Satan instead of follow God. And Jesus said that in the day that that happens, He is going to come again. And so, if you're a child of God today, and He's shouting, are there any Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego's left? Right now, there are some in this room that are probably close to that. I hope so. But in the day when Christ comes for the church, and we go through the rapture, and we go to be with the Lord, and He calls us up to meet Him in the air, forevermore we'll be with the Lord, there will be nobody left on this earth that comes close to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And somebody told on them. And when I thought about that, I said, well, there must be a few Baptists over there in the Babylonian Empire if somebody told on them, because we're pretty famous for telling on people, aren't we? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar got really mad. But he thought, well, these are pretty good old boys. They're from over in Jerusalem, and they're Daniel's friends, and Daniel's one of my big supporters, and I've put him in a powerful position, and they've proved to be the cream of the crop of all the male children from Jerusalem, and they've got sense in their head. I'm just going to call them together. I'll just call a meeting, and I'll explain it to them. And they're going to come around. I just know they'll come around, and they'll bow down to worship the image that I've fashioned after myself. Would there be anyone here today that doubt that this was probably the biggest test that these three Hebrew boys had ever gone through in their life up to that point? You talk about a test. Three of Israel's finest are ordered to worship a graven image of Nebuchadnezzar or die. Friends, I really wonder how many Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego's are left in the state of Tennessee. I wonder how many of them are left in Rutherford County. I wonder how many of them are left in Murfreesboro and Las Casas. I wonder how many of them are left within the body of Christ. I wonder how many Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednego's are left throughout the entire planet. Now, I know there's some that are scattered around, but probably not many. But someday when Jesus comes, there will be none. None left. There's a story of a young woman, the daughter of a Muslim father who abandoned her and her Christian mother. The story of that day says that a Muslim Sudanese judge ordered the pregnant wife of an American citizen to die because she refuses to renounce her Christian faith. Her name is Miriam Ibrahim. At the time she was 26 years old, she was sentenced after being convicted by Sharia law of apostasy. And that's the perfect example of how Sharia law works. You either do it the Muslim way, or it is a conviction of death. And if you stop and think about it, there are several Muslims that are now holding office in the United States House of Representatives. And also, if you've noticed, they've denounced the Constitution of the United States of America only to uplift the Sharia law that they embrace through their religion called Islam. My friends, Sharia law is alive and well in the United States of America, even within our very own government. The court in Khartoum, Sudan, ruled that Miriam would be allowed to give birth. Remember, she's pregnant. Oh, she can have her baby. In fact, they said you can even have the baby and bond with it and nurse your baby before being executed. But that she must also receive 100 lashes immediately after having her baby for adultery. Well, why was it adultery? Because she was married to a Christian who was also a citizen of the United States. And so she had relationships with an infidel, with a Christian, with her husband. However, Abraham, who happened to be a physician, was given at the time 3 days to recant. In 3 days, if she would recant and renounce her Christian faith, we will spare you and we will not put you to death. And by the way, they were going to put her to death in public by hanging. And I'm amazed, but Miriam Ibrahim held firm to her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Miriam Ibrahim was a modern-day Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And she held her faith, held on to her faith. Here's an update. A diplomatic event took place, and pressure was put on the Muslim court to release Mrs. Ibrahim, and she finally was released. And as far as I know, she's back in the United States of America. But you know what? She came back then and went back over there to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel, right back into the midst of the fire. Church, here's the point. We need to be praying our hearts out. That's why this song we sang this morning, or the choir sang, was just perfect. We need to be praying our hearts out every day for Christians around the world who are under the shadows of apostasy, who are in the midst of the fire, if you will. We need to be praying our hearts out for Christians who are actually the modern-day shadows of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they're being sentenced to die. They're being put to death right now in our day in 2019 for the same reason Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were sentenced to die and be thrown into the fiery furnace. Christians are being killed every day for the gospel. Are there any left that haven't taken God out of his rightful place? Are there any who have not replaced him with something else that the world says that we need to embrace? With some other man-made something another? Or some world-approved something another? Or a secular job, or a silly game, or a trinket of technology, or some idealistic image or idol that the world says has replaced God's rightful place, and you and me and all of us must now denounce the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the universe, and embrace these replacements. That's what the world wants us to do. I pray that there's a room full of people today that'll pass the test, that will hang on to your faith, that will never waver. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The entering of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." And what the psalmist is literally saying is that God's word enlightens and transforms simple-minded, unlearned people into truth and understanding. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I'm no Einstein, and sometimes I'm very ignorant. I'll admit it. I don't know, nor do I understand everything there is to understand about this book. But I have a God, and with God's help, through God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, I can study it, I can rightly divide it, dissect it, I can look into the Word and learn it and receive the portion of understanding that the Holy Ghost is willing for me to learn. But I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to open the book and to study it and to learn if I can and receive that portion of understanding. You need to be willing to do that. Not only do you need to be willing to do that, you need to do that. Because in the day in which we live, if there's a bunch of people that are ignorant of the Word of God, then we'll fall for these things that the world wants us to embrace. Even in the church right now, people that really understand and know God's word have reported the truth of the fact that God's people are embracing worldly things in the church. We don't need to do that. We need to embrace this book. We need to be Shadrach, Meshach's, and Abednego's. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, make your ears attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search it as for hidden treasures, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Friend, you've got to want it. You've got to want to have the knowledge of God more than you want anything else in your life. Now, here's the question for everybody. Have you come here today to seek and to know God better. Here's another one. Does anyone in this service this morning have any problems going on in their life right now? And that's a pretty ridiculous question, because I know the answer. Of course, you do. We all have problems going on within our lives, no matter who we are, no matter what we do, no matter what walk of life we're in, we have problems. That is, if you're a born-again child of God, you have problems. If you're an unsaved human being, you have problems. There's a difference in those two, though. Unsaved people have problems, period, because they're without any faith. They're without any hope in the Lord. They don't believe in the Lord. They've thrown the Lord out. They've embraced the worldly Antichrist system. But James has taught Christians something in the last couple of weeks. Christians have trials and temptations and tests, and the Lord is with them all the way from the beginning to the end. Thank you, Lord. We need you, Lord. You need the Lord in the day in which we live, in this time, in this hour. We need the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the image. Nebuchadnezzar ordered that the fiery furnace is going to be hotter than it's ever been, 7 times more hot than it has ever been. Commanded the mighty men to take them to the fiery furnace and cast them into it. These men obeyed that order, and it said when they opened that fiery furnace, the heat was so bad, so hot, that it killed those men that threw them in the fiery furnace. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. And to his astonishment, Nebuchadnezzar the king rose up in haste and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, O true king, we cast three men into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he had changed his mind a little bit when he saw them walking around in the midst of that fiery furnace with someone that looked like unto the Son of God. And he came calling them out of the fiery furnace. And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors began gathering together and saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. My friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life and you are cast into the fiery furnace of this life and you go through trials and tests and tribulations, you're not in there walking by yourself, because he's in there with you. It's so easy to be saved. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on that cross. He took your sins to the cross and died so that you can have his life. And if you're here this morning, during this invitational time of this service, they'll come forward and receive Christ as their Savior. And we pray in his name. Amen.